Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, May 9th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. A peripheral opposition political party in Zimbabwe is claiming that it is making inroads in the country's forthcoming June parliamentary by-elections.
We are making a lot of inroads into the MPP-dominated constituents. We are going door-to-door telling the people what we are after and what we are prepared to do for the constituents.
Mutare Council workers who have not been paid for 15 months say they are now failing to make ends meet. A peripheral opposition political party in Zimbabwe is claiming that it is making inroads in the country's forthcoming June parliamentary by-elections. One of the candidates of the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe, Benjamin Cosmas, says they hope to give other candidates a torrid time in the polls following the recalling of MTC Renewal Party members of parliament by Moken Tswangirai's MTCT. Cosmas tells Studio 7, despite the uneven electoral field, they hope to pick the Tsibarasekwa seat in Harare.
We are going door-to-door telling the people what we are after and what we are prepared to do for the constituents.
What exactly are you telling people there?
Our message to the people is we are trying by all means to bring the government closer to the people so that the government is less accessible to the people. Because what we are seeing is members of parliament, they are very far from the people. They don't know what is happening on the ground. So we are trying to implement projects in the society so that the people in the society can be self-sustaining, because the unemployment rate is more than 90% in the country. All the youth are in the streets, the women are in the streets. The whole economy is now a zombie economy.
So now you are saying that you are trying to bring the government closer to the people. How exactly are you going to do that?
I was born and bred in Tsibarasekwa. I participated in all the elections that have been happening since 1996 when I was eligible to vote. I voted for the people in different parties. So I discovered that whenever you vote someone into power, they become very inaccessible to the community that voted them into power. So after getting the mandate from the people, people have to be still be accessible to the people. You know, the mistake that has been happening in Tsibarasekwa, we have been voting for people who don't stay in Tsibarasekwa. They don't know the problems of the people in Tsibarasekwa.
Are you campaigning freely in Tsibarasekwa? Are you facing any problems?
Except for a few incidences where my posters have been cleared by unknown people for unknown reasons. But so far, so good. I haven't received any intimidation from anyone.
And then tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you?
I'm a professional engineer. I've never benefited anything from the system, but I'm a qualified engineer, automotive engineer to be specific. But we are getting into politics because there is nothing that is happening. We feel we have been let down by the hands that should be pulling us up.
So are you not fearing any chances of rigging?
Yeah, the same. But our eyes are open to see what will happen next. We are keeping our eyes widely open.
So what are your fears exactly? What are your fears?
We are very much afraid because we don't have the electronic voters. So we think maybe the figures may be manipulated by the system that is there. We are, as you can see, we are campaigning with the people who have been in the politics for more than 40 years. So we are afraid.
That was Benjamin Cosmas of the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. ZANU-PF claims that the party is not intimidating its opponents. The party spokesman Simon Kayamoyo was not reachable for comment. Meanwhile, Joshua Chigwangwa, a Zimbabwean who contested the just-ended British Council elections won by the Conservative Party, says immigrants should always participate in such important elections.
I was contesting in the Welling Hatfield Council Barrow, which is in Hertfordshire, and it's the same Barrow which the chairman of the Conservative Party is, Grant Sharps. I came second with 702 votes. The Conservative person who got it got 1,441 votes. And I'm talking of a constituents where 98% of the residents are from white community background, and you've got less than 2% who are of black and ethnic minority rich. So I think my policies are really cutting across different races. And it's also a way to encourage African communities to engage in governance issues and be part of the decision-making aspect of these issues, because we have noticed that other minority communities like the Asians, like Nigerians, have covered a lot of ground. You have some who are mayors and some who are even shadow ministers. And by gravitating to those positions of authority, you help shape policy taking into account the needs of the African community.
That was Joshua Chikwangwa, a Zimbabwean living in Britain who contested the just-ended British election, speaking with Studio 7 from London. Some Mutare City Council workers say they have not been paid for almost 15 months, a situation that has resulted in high poverty levels in the Manicaland provincial capital. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo reports.
Some of the workers said the local authority was expected to pay them yesterday, but most of them did not receive the outstanding salaries by the end of the day. Some of the workers, Ozias Gore, who is a polygamist and has two wives and six children, says his children are no longer going to school due to lack of money. Gore works for the council's refuse collection department. He says life is hard as he last received his pay last year.
I'm a father. I've got two wives, six children. Since from last year, with no payment, I'm a lodger. She from here to here. I want money. I want to do something in my life, see? But our bosses, they eat everything. And they are doing everything. I'm a bin man. A refuse collector.
Another council employee, Eunice Rutere, says she is now destitute as she has also not received a salary to pay rent, buy food and other basic necessities. Shem Gore, who is now being haunted by some debts, says the council should at least pay him 5 months' salary in order to clear his debts, now running into thousands of dollars.
Yeah, as a family man, this is not good to me, because my child are staying home. And moreover, I'm going to work, but no payment. But now they are giving me 1 month for 10 months. Is that be possible for me? It's not possible for me. What I want is let them. What they want to do is, I myself. I want them to give me 4-5 months so that I will cover my problems until now.
Many council employees are in danger of being evicted from their lodgings for non-payment of rentals, while school children are no longer going to school due to lack of money to pay school fees. The local authority is now planning to retrench some of its 1,500 workers, claiming that it can no longer continue accumulating salary arrears that currently run into millions of dollars. The council says its revenue base has been seriously affected by the harsh economic environment currently prevailing in Zimbabwe. Mutare Mayor Councillor Tatenda Namarare says his council is struggling to raise workers' salaries and pay the outstanding wages owing to the reduced revenue base. He adds that the local authority is owed at least US$25 million by the residents, businesses and other government departments in unpaid water and reticulation charges. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Violence continues to flare in areas of northern Mali, despite concerted efforts to end years of insurgency with a negotiated peace. Fighting between United Nations peacekeepers and government militia with separatists took place in three locations in recent days, even as final details were being set for a peace deal to be signed May 15th in the capital Bamako. The United States strongly condemns the recent violence in and around Menaka, Timbuktu, and Gundam. All parties should immediately cease hostilities and return to their previous positions in compliance with all applicable ceasefire agreements. Northern Mali has experienced years of unrest, with members of some northern communities fighting for autonomy from the government in the south. In 2012, irredentist armed groups in Mali joined forces with Islamist militants to briefly seize control of the north. A French-led intervention force helped the government regain control of large areas of lost territory. For months, international mediators have worked to draft a peace agreement aimed at addressing the grievances of northern communities. The government and some armed groups have given tentative approval to their proposal. The recent violence, however, is a serious obstacle to peace. The United States urges the parties to seize the opportunity offered by the peace process, in which all relevant regional and international partners are involved, to support building a lasting peace in Mali. We reiterate our strong support for the United Nations Multidimensional Integrated Stabilization Mission in Mali, recognizing the legitimate aspiration of all Malians to enjoy lasting peace and development. The United States emphasizes that all parties have a responsibility to all of the communities in Mali and to the international community to reach a durable peace agreement.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We are lucky to have with us on the Women's Forum tonight Dr. Natsai Jou, the Project Director at Women of Dominion International, based in the United States of America. Dr. Jou is part of a group of women under the Women of Dominion International who are working with disadvantaged Zimbabweans throughout the country. Dr. Jou will be speaking to us about some of the projects her organization is doing, especially targeting those living with albinism in the rural areas. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Dr. Jou.
Thank you so much. Women of Dominion, which goes by WOD, is based in Indiana, USA. It was founded by Pastor Marvelous Ndlovu. She is the president of Women of Dominion. And it was founded really on a vision to provide Zimbabwean women who are in diaspora, mainly basically, I guess, in the U.S., because that's where we are. But we have women participating from all over the world. But it was founded on trying to provide opportunity to have a forum for fellowshipping, or what we call mbatanidzwa at home, and in a culturally comfortable and familiar environment for the women of Zimbabwean diaspora. So from there, the project area, the project committee was formed, Kuti, in addition of having the fellowshipping and the conferences and batanidzwas, we should come together and try and help people back at home.
When it comes to the actual projects that you're doing in Zimbabwe, what is your main focus?
Our main focus really is we're focusing on three basic groups at home: the school children in the rural communities, the women and the grandmothers raising kids who are, you know, who are orphans because of HIV, AIDS, or any other terminal diseases. And also our other main group is people living with albinism who are considered, you know, marginalized.
In which areas in Zimbabwe are you operating currently?
Our criteria for who we help is basically rural areas. And we try to help people who are really outside the main places where most people get help from nonprofit organizations or other local people. So we figured if we looked at people in the most remote rural areas, and that's one of the major criteria. The other one is that we also look at those who have not received any other help from anyone else. And right now, we've done a few projects in the Domboshava area. The reason why that's not really remote is people living with albinism, we don't include those criteria. They don't really apply to them. So we will help anybody in that group. I think there are about 18,000 to 20,000 in Zimbabwe people living with albinism. So we try and reach any one of them.
So how does one get to actually benefit from your program?
The good thing about our committee is that it is made up of about 20 committee members, and we're all in different groups. And some of those members are actually in Zimbabwe. So the good thing about it is we have people on ground who actually sometimes do the on-ground, hands-on work. And of course, people who are able to go back and forth during that time, they do the hands-on work. But on our website, you can go there and put in your request. We have sent out emails, word of mouth. And when you go on the website, the idea is to put in your request. And then if you fit the criteria, the committee goes through. We have a committee that does the analysis and all that and figures out whether they qualify or not. And then we go through the process of their needs and see what we can do. And believe it or not, word of mouth also is very big because we have received so many emails of people who are already requesting help, like schools and just local communities of people who have children who are orphans.
How easy or challenging has it been for Women of Dominion to actually put together women from Zimbabwe to fund projects for Zimbabweans?
Getting the project committee together is give and take a challenge. I mean, we're blessed that, like I said, we have people on ground. And the women that are also here in the United States are very passionate, God-loving women who are willing to give up their time and donate even financially, as well as resources that are needed. And we've also been able to send stuff, especially for people living with albinism, things like hats and sunscreens. We're working on also sending some sunglasses, because we know those people are very challenged health-wise, needing those things to prevent cancer. They have poor eyesight and so forth.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Dr. Natsai Zhou, the project director at Women of Dominion International, based in Tennessee here in the United States, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you for having us, and I hope this will help us spread the word and get more help.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks, Marvelous. We hope we are going to have a lovely weekend. The music of Makwapeni and Quality Sounds coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. Now to recap today's top stories. A peripheral opposition political party in Zimbabwe is claiming that it is making inroads in the country's forthcoming June parliamentary by-elections. And Mutare City Council workers who have not been paid for 15 months say they are now failing to make ends meet. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stuwe in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.